The following programming is sponsored by Fatima Peters. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
Hello, 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 Philadelphia. This is Fatima Peters with a live radio show empowering and inspiring people to create great opportunities for their lives. We are here every Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. on WWDB Talk AM and on Spotify. Thanks to all our sponsors. Special thanks to Shima Steakhouse, the best Brazilian steakhouse in Philadelphia. Mention a live radio for a special offer in your holiday party. Today, my guest is Anthony Timmitt. He's a coach, a teacher, a financial educator. Welcome, Anthony.
Hello.
It's so great to have you here again.
Thank you. Yeah, it's always fun.
This is so much fun. This is a show that we empower people about their inner self. And talk a little bit about yourself. What do you do?
Father. Boyfriend, maybe. Boyfriend.
Good looking boyfriend.
Yes. Thank you. Teacher. I teach high school.
For
English.
How long?
25 years plus.
My goodness gracious. Yes. You have your hands full.
Yep. I have five daughters.
So. Yeah. Unbelievable. That is unbelievable. So what inspired you to incorporate lessons about life's joy and inspiration into your teaching and family? Because I know it's something that you were very passionate about it. Yeah. Inspiration and joy. Yeah. You are joy. You know,
right.
you're always talking about,
right.
I am love, I'm joy.
Right.
So what inspired you to incorporate that even more? Huh. Is that the teachings of emotional management, perhaps? Or
yes. Well, it started even before that. I mean, I had a desire to create a business. I mean, I always loved to learn and always loved to teach. That's natural. And then I had a desire to create a business, which brought me to a place called a Landmark.
I remember Landmark. We all did.
And then that was a beautiful place to grow.
Yes.
I worked with a company called Primerica, and that was a beautiful place to grow as well. And then I met you through networking.
Yes.
And
then, yes. At Shima.
Yeah, at Shima. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was at Shima, actually.
Yeah. What inspired me is I always, this desire to just better myself. I love to go to a gym and work out. So it was just get myself in a better mental place too as well. So.
And in your classroom, you know, we're talking about high school, right? You do middle school too or just high school?
Just high school now. I started out, I was in high school and then I went and taught a little bit for elementary, first grade, teaching them how to read. That was fun, very fun and challenging.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the kids are just learning symbols and words. And so that was fun.
Yeah,
but I always thought I'd be a college professor more than anything. And then,
you don't look like one, but I'm sure you can.
Right. It's so funny, because everybody thought when I got an education, you're going to be in the phys ed, and I love to learn. I love to expand the mind, and that's always been it's been natural to me.
Yes, very. And you were also trained as a principal.
Yes,
my goodness,
principal.
I can imagine you as a principal. Today we all are allowed to play in class. All about joy, right?
I definitely had fun, and but then there's certain boundaries, and everybody, the kids
of
knew
course.
Them, and it was fun.
How do they call you, Mister?
Mister Timmitt.
Oh,
now they
call you what?
Mister Timmitt. They
Mister T.
My history class. I don't know where this came up. They call me Timmitt AI.
Oh,
Mister Timmitt has the answer. They started calling me Timmitt AI. So they ran off.
That
of
is
that
so
one.
Much fun. So tell us when you are in a classroom, obviously to captivate their attention, their focus. What is the art of that? How do you do it?
Thanks for asking. I try to be too
scientific,
highbrow about it, because it sounds like the question's a good question. The ego, let's tone the ego down.
You can speak your mind. Come on, this is the only place you can do that.
Well, I love to learn. I love to learn, and therefore, I know. I want to get the kid that doesn't want to learn.
Uh-huh. Well,
like
that's what I'm talking about.
That goes to the guy that's not laughing because you got the whole room laughing. So you go to the person. So that's Yeah.
How do you incorporate that?
We always make whatever make it simple. We're teaching communication. I'm an English teacher. So, right? So that's communication. We're going to read, we're going to write, we're going to speak, we're going to think.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now we just need something. In this case, it could be a play. Like, let's say, you know, it could be a play or a piece of literature. And all right, we're not really learning the literature. This is just the platform to be able to communicate.
Very true.
So
uh-huh.
we make that piece of literature applicable to them.
Yeah. And what are you, you know, teaching now? What is the play right now?
Right now, we are reading Night by Elie Wiesel, and students are like, oh, man, I don't, I wasn't around in the 1940s. I've been around during World War II. However, the story is about a person who's 13, going to be 14, and he has his struggles with his father because he saw that the Nazis were coming in Szeged, which is a town.
It's appropriate for now, yeah, as a
right,
fact.
Exactly. It is very much so. When children, like, hey, I'm a Jewish kid who really was into this Elie Wiesel, who's really into learning mysticism, and he's like, well, if we believe what we believe, the Savior is supposed to come from someone my age.
Good. And so, how do you create a positive and motivating discussion with subjects like that?
Well, again, making it about them. Okay, so maybe you're not growing up in World War II. Maybe you're not even Jewish. But do you have relationships with parents?
Uh-huh.
Are you curious about things? And then that's how, oh, this guy had those things. Now, what about you? What do you have to say about those?
Do kids interact, a lot in class? Or are they shy about the subject itself?
It's been such a shift. I used to really be able to speak, and then kids would love to get engaged in conversation. They're so aware of what people think about them because of the phone.
It's because of the phone, the stimuli.
Yeah, because and the extreme of it is somebody would videotape you, which I won't allow in my classroom, and then send it, or if not, text somebody outside the room, hey, he said this, she said that. So I've been very clear about that. That's
it's
not
the gossiping,
yes.
Digital gossiping,
correct.
You know, that happens so
correct.
Often. The lack of having some good conversation with someone that actually read or record something that is bad to have a conversation.
Exactly. So
here's
a tool called Mentimeter. Uh-huh. You send out a question, the kids can answer it anonymously, and it comes up on the screen and it flows down the conversation. Uh-huh. So we don't have anybody's individual name attached.
Yes,
But you have the conversation, and then we just...
That's interesting. So that's interesting.
Whatever way we got to work around.
That is a very interesting tool.
Yeah, it's great for business, too.
Yeah, for business, yeah. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to other educators who want to incorporate similar teachings? Positive, like emotion management in their curriculum. I mean, you know, you've been tapping around this for a long time. Mm-hmm. You've been studying with me for, 5 years now?
Yes.
And we have developed with Emotion Management School a way of presenting people with positivity, joy, inspiration. This is our journey nowadays. And I've been going to work, corporations and places, and placing seeds of interest about this that we do, which is, you know, before saying anything, think, you know, filter your thoughts, you know, don't just go blind in emotions with people. And because nowadays, the hardest thing at work or at school is positivity. It's almost like a rare thing,
right?
You know, and how do you keep the culture in your classroom being positive? Kids have the ability to question you, and you have the ability to have a dialogue with them with focus. So what would you say to other educators to bring that to their classroom or to executives to bring that to their table?
There's more than one way to doing it, so it's broad, as opposed to being rigid. It's broad, and it's forgiving. There's structural forgiveness. So there's forgiveness in that. So how do we bring it? You look at what it is essentially you want to either teach or portray in business. make it simple, like in this case, communicate. Yeah. And a lot of times in business, that's really what it is.
Yeah.
In any business, it's communication.
Because everybody has a different opinion.
Right.
You know,
right.
Everybody has their own lives and their own emotions. And right. when they come to the table, they come with that.
So here's what I've developed. And I think this would even work in something functional, like my girlfriend's a veterinarian.
Because uh-huh.
she's got to communicate with the public what
yes,
she's doing.
Yeah.
So it's really the mind thinks in pictures.
Yes.
So for every thought comes an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and every emotion or every thought, every trigger becomes a thought, which yeah. becomes an emotion.
Yeah.
So what are those things? Look at these. I would have kids type it in. You'd have, you know, your people, business associates talk about it. So what, you know, stimulus, thought, and emotion. And then you start looking at maybe like two or three of them in any interaction.
Yeah, and have them expose it.
What do you see as similarities? And what do you, that's the conversation yeah. we have in class. You could do it through Mentimeter. You have yeah. them write. I actually did our inventory. There's the 24 character strengths.
Oh, yeah,
I started
yeah.
that in my class.
Did you do that?
I do that.
Yeah, that's the VIA Institute. Great questionnaire about the strength, which he actually, when you do to someone that never done this before, they get so surprised that they ever had any strength like that, but they never investigated in themselves. So that's a good tool
so
to use.
That tool is a great tool because now the barriers are down.
Like, yes.
Okay, we're going to learn English. No one really
well,
wants
correct.
To learn.
Well, correct.
Okay, when we see it's about you,
yeah.
when you make it about you in business and in the classroom.
Their collaboration,
like, oh,
yes.
I do. So, hey, whenever I don't know what to say because usually it's the hardest thing when we teach writing is what do I say? Well, we only know about ourselves the most, and we can only speak from our perspective. So
correct.
We know what our strengths are. Uh-huh. We can talk about just about anything.
Very true. Very true. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And when we come back, I would like to talk about an experience you had in class where a student actually brilliantly just, boom, had an insight from a exercise that you've done about joy, inspiration, and able to break, you know, a negative thought, you know, because sometimes you get into that wave and that can bring you to depression. That can be, you know, a serious situation. So we'll thank our sponsors, Shima Steakhouse and also Vocal Studio in Manyunk by John Nicholas Peters and Game Time Sports Medicine. So I'll be back shortly. Thank you.
Game Time is a sports-soaked therapy used by professional athletes, health, and wellness providers worldwide to aid in the recovery process unlike any other product in today's healthcare industry. Recover faster. Use before and after activities or workouts to prevent injuries. We work out extremely hard to stay fit, so protect your body. Stay healthy with Game Time recovery products. Order yours today. Go to the website GameTimeSportsProducts.com.
Have you been to the best Brazilian-style steakhouse in Philadelphia? Shima, located on 20th and JFK, is an unforgettable dining experience. 15 types of rotisserie meats, including beef, lamb, shrimp, salmon, and much more. Private rooms, up to 150 people to host your special event and business dinners. Call now and mention a live radio show, 215-525-3233, or go to shimasteakhouse.com. Delivery and takeout available.
Hello, 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 Philadelphia. This is Fatima Peters with a live radio show empowering and inspiring people to create great opportunities for their lives. We're here today with Anthony Timmitt having a conversation about better education, empowering our youngsters to actually pay attention to their thoughts, filter their emotions, and create great things for their lives and their friends. And Anthony has been a teacher for 25 years, great experience with his own children, and also he is a financial educator. So Anthony, I would like, if you could, share a brilliant moment when a kid in classroom actually got it about the emotion management and joy of being when they actually saw themselves. You know, I know you have many, but could you share one?
Thank you for asking the question.
You don't need to say any names. I just want right. to know the experience.
I'm going to pick one that was not as overt, because like I'm an extrovert, so I'm gonna go one that's not go opposite. There was a young lady. She was just very, very quiet. Like, I'll be, by her own admission, painfully shy.
Mm.
She's sitting in the back of the room, and she didn't want me to talk to her, but I would pay attention to her writing, and I would be very specific in my responses to her in writing to what she was saying. And it took a while. Like, it wasn't like, oh.
Right away, yeah.
But over time, it was like you could see she was, eventually it took maybe a couple months and she said, hi.
Did she really?
Didn't even say Mr. Tibby, she said, hi. You know, I'm like, oh, that was like monumental. So over time, and it's funny because now I have, she was a freshman, now I have her as a sophomore in a history class, and I spoke with her mom.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, she goes, I won't say her name. Yeah. She really likes you. She's like,
oh, hey. See?
She's like,
because you pay attention.
Yeah. But again, those types of people can really kind of fly under the radar if you're
very
not.
True. So, very
but,
true. Very true.
Yeah. But she
but like, she was blossom, writing, right? She was blossoming in writing.
Yes. And very specific about she's in veterinary medicine, like it was her study. And I would relate to her based on what she was.
Wow.
Just praised her. And it was genuine praise. Like, well, it was genuine.
This is joy. Yeah. See, you are actually being love.
Yeah.
And love responds to love.
Right.
Love can only add, you know. And I talk about this on the radio so often. People say, you are idealistic. And I am, you know. Right. I love and I love life. There's no other way. So have you noticed positive changes in your children and in your family and in all around you since you've been applying emotion management tools and being transformed and talking about this that we do, which is inspiration with love?
Yes, the answer is yes.
That was such a profound question that you had to take a breath to answer.
Well, yeah, because it's when you, being me, when I did the work, it spread to the whole family.
Uh-huh. Right?
And we still have our ups and our downs. But like, okay.
But you know how to navigate it.
Yes, like this year, our youngest, she's in her sophomore in tennis. She was 13 and 3.
In a something?
Like, and she really, like, blossomed
in a something.
Well, you know what?
How about your nephew?
My nephew just passed. He's now a pilot. Navigator. Yeah, he is now clear to teach.
Yeah,
so maybe
he's
I'll get
not
up there
only
with him.
Yeah, pilot and instructor at 22.
Yeah,
by the way,
he's got all of his licenses. Yeah, 22,
at 22,
young man. So that played what we do with emotion management played
that's
a huge
it.
Role in what in his
see and myself. I have so many testimonials of how the tools. For emotion management works, you know, and we are now launching, you know, for real, you know, talks and in schools and the philosophy of life,
right.
Which is the most important thing. All coaches, teachers, educators, psychologists, psychiatrists, and people in the field to come and learn, you know, the principles and the way, the multifocal intelligence theory. And why do we speak about this so often, especially here in the radio? It's called Alive Radio for a reason.
Right.
We've been doing, we've been in a radio since, I think, 2015. And we've been talking about this.
Hmm.
You know, it's incredible. And thank you for, you know, being here.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
And supporting
Thanks
the radio and supporting the community with your teachings. And, I also wanted you, if you could share with us your transformation. What was the key, the number one key that you turned that made sense to you? Because I know there were many, but one in particular that you're very grateful that you have learned and turned that key in your life.
Well, I was always willing to do the work.
Yes.
I think it's like I like to go to the gym and I'll stress the body to grow it. And I think that was the same. Like if I can do this in a gym, which was easy for me to do, not easy. It was easy in the sense that I'm willing to go and do the extra lift when you're tired.
Uh-huh.
It's just, so it was like, if I can do that in the gym, I could definitely do that
with the mind.
And
what was the blocks
that mostly, you know, you disliked it and you did it. And you actually got that out of the way. There's just one.
Oh, the blocks was me. The ego. I was the block.
It is true, yeah, isn't it true?
That is the block.
That is true. So when ego is in a way, you know, most people use ego to their voice. You know, oh, you know, I am this, I am that. And ego actually gets in a way for the person to discover who they are. Because if that is the only way to do things, how could they ever try anything new?
Right.
Right?
Right.
So ego is for real a block, because most people don't allow themselves to even try something new.
Yes. And it's funny. Now that you're asking and we're talking, the ego wants to know.
Uh-huh. All the time.
All the time. And being comfortable with not knowing.
Yes. Oh, I love that. That is the key. I wanted you to say exactly that.
Can I be more specific? No. I get love whenever I know nothing. Let's just put it to you that way.
So it is true, though, because
yes,
most people
is.
Think
yes.
they have to know. And they have to say, they have to be right, they have to be on top, they have to... And actually, Dr. Joe Vitale wrote about many books about zero limits, to be nothing, to be in nothingness. Landmarks talks about that, meaningless,
yeah.
Being in silence, because that speaks louder, doesn't it?
Yes.
That makes everything much nicer, much more interactive, much more collaborative.
You attract, right? As opposed to having to do.
Correct.
You attract.
Yeah, and here we can go on to so many masters with that. Deepak Chopra has the 7 laws of success, and number one, obviously, is possibilities. I mean, you can't be in possibilities if you are an ego, because ego only knows its way.
It can't know nothing.
Correct. You so understand that?
It's the balance.
So it's looking for balance in possibilities, being flexible. You know, that's the word. And another of those 7 laws is actually the law of least effort. Why do you think? Only because the work is coming naturally,
right, it's coming
and
to
being
you.
Attracted to you.
Yes.
You are the magnet for everything you want. How incredible is that?
Yes.
That, and you have discovered that, right?
Yes.
I mean,
my relationships with my daughters.
Yes.
My daughters who aren't my biological daughters.
Yes.
Like, well, just
the acceptance of all that.
The hug I got when
yes.
they left
that,
yesterday.
That's, see?
To both of them.
I see mean, that? That's meaningful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, that is value. And you could only see that when you were not seeking anymore, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, I remember those days, by the way.
Yeah, right. I
remember those days. Yeah, there was
tough.
So much pressure there. So let's talk a little bit about that, because we have maybe a few minutes. I wanted to ask you, what was the valuable teaching that you got from emotion management school? What was the most valuable teaching that Augusto Cury gave us? Dr. Augusto Cury, my mentor, your mentor, what is that you can say to our listeners, by the way, that is the most important thing?
Well, we met through Landmark.
Yeah.
They were always talking about giving it up. Giving
correct.
It up. And I'm like, okay, I'll buy
what
that.
Is that?
How to give it up. So
correct.
The missing link, Dr. Augusto Cury's work, you know, of the DCD,
doubt. The grid.
You doubt, you know, the only way to engage the mind is to ask it a question.
Uh-huh.
So you're doubting it, like what I'm criticizing, determining what you're putting in.
That's
that,
it.
That was all the difference.
Correct.
Now, that wasn't just easy. Like,
but that
was the key. To like, oh, now I at least know how to give it up in the moment.
Because everybody talks about choice. They talk about, oh, you have the choice. Duh. Yeah, we do have the choice. Then, oh, you have the choice. Fine. But then, how do you do it?
Yeah.
See, Dr. Augusto Cury with the DCD tool, it is perfect. Because now you know you can doubt your thoughts. you can filter that before it becomes and anchors as an emotion. And most people don't know that they have that choice to do it, right. That they are the author of their own lives, and they are, right in that moment, the one right. to choose, how do I observe this?
Correct.
How do I, what is my perception of this?
Right.
And not allow the automatic perception of the mind to choose it for you, right?
You're just creating in the moment.
You're
so
creating.
That's creativity.
Correct.
So
that is so amazing.
Yes, very amazing. So it's the DCD is the key. Like if you need to know anything,
correct.
You dare say
yeah.
knowing, that would be the thing to
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
But then you work that so it becomes automatic.
Yeah. And you have done that. You have brought mm. that to your school, right?
School,
you have brought
my home.
Everybody's practicing
my family,
that.
Yes.
yes. Well, that's our work. You know, our group of coaches and our friends, everyone that is in this journey, our job is actually to spread the word. And we can only impact people with experiences.
Right.
Because if they see that you're doing well, that you're calm, I mean, you remember the temper you used to have,
oh,
right?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and it's a transformation, you know, because thank now you. Anger no longer haunts you.
No.
That's it. You're in control.
And that's just based on fear.
Yeah, of course. Well,
anger is nothing.
Yes.
The more someone's angry, the more you know the fear.
True.
The fear
and is a, it, it's so important that you communicate that to your student, that right. they have a choice. Yeah. They don't need to be angry at the world. Right. They don't need to be angry because they don't have
circumstances.
Yeah,
but you are greater than your body and your
very
emotions
true.
And time.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Yep.
Well, this is so much fun. Time flies, by the
yes.
way, when you're having fun.
yep,
has been such a beautiful conversation
you.
With you, Anthony, my friend.
Thank you.
And my student and collaborator for Emotion Management School. I hope you come back.
Oh, we'll do. Yeah,
yeah, sure. yeah, and talk a little more about positivity and how we can actually inspire and impact the world to also be positive. Because if everyone has a positive mental attitude, which world would have?
Completely different. Yeah.
Well, a completely different yeah. world.
Yeah, we all have access to it.
It's very
not,
true.
There's no
very
exclusive
true.
Club, right?
So thank you for listening. We thank our sponsors, Shima Steakhouse and Game Time Sports Products. And we'll see you and talk to you and embrace you next week.